Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome back. We missed all of you. All of you out there on Blog Talk, Twitter, and and all the respected. And thank you. And I'd like to start our show off by asking the question, what has happened to today's family? And I'm sure we can come up with a number of reasons, but we, most importantly, we hope that we can come up with some solutions. Those of you who may be out there struggling or having know someone that is going through some changes in their family. Doctor, I'd like to start off by saying welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Brother Yaniv. And it is indeed a pleasure to be back and to have our Blog Talk radio streaming family here with us today. I'm anxious to get started, and I hope that we get some participation in the audience because we have some things we would like to suggest that we join in together and do. So I'm ready, and I trust that you and all of our listeners are ready also.
Absolutely. Let me turn on the system so that they can send questions in. Hold on. Okay. All right. There we go. Yes, sir. And doctor, from your experience, from your plight till today, how do you see the family unit today so different than it was from in your days?
Well, I'm not sure that the comparison would hold up, and I want to make an apology for the fact that today's family is different, but the difference is actually forced from the outside. And let's take a family of African Americans who were raising children. Let's take a figure. Let's say from the 1970s on to, let's say, to the 1990s. What they were faced with was the slow but sure erosion of their authority as parents. Now, this erosion of their authority as parents was helped by a number of things. Let's say the misinterpretation or the misunderstanding of what it means to be a family, and what it means to be a woman in a family, what it means to be a man in a family. Those decision makers, many of them well-meaning, but also very, very inexperienced and unwise, began to be manipulated by individuals for personal and selfish reasons. Let me give you an example. The notion that a person who is of the same sex, who wants to get married to an individual of the same sex, is equated with African people who were forced to go to the back of cafes, back of buses and all of that. That's an unfair and unrealistic comparison, mainly because Africans were African by birth. You may say that you can choose if you're a woman to be married to a woman, and that may be your choice. And in the United States of America and in Occidental or Western society, you know, you can do that. But the question is, how did that begin to affect the choices that men and women made in their families? And this is the way it began to affect them. Where a man and a woman were proud to be a male and a female together and a family, now they are told that you cannot say anything in your own family that would indicate that you're uncomfortable with or have a problem with certain social conventions, political correctness. So one of the main differences is that the authority of the family has been undercut by the institutions of government, by the almost inaction, total inaction of the church to stand up for the rights of its parents to be parents, for the rights of the children to be to grow up as children without the burden of having to talk about sex at the age of 6 and 7 years old. The church silence is so great that it's almost is the equivalent of stupidity. And then one of the things that really, really began to encroach upon the family is this legalization of the incarceration of black men. The criminalization of being black has robbed the family of its stability, of its protectors and its providers, and this has contributed to the weakening of our family. And so I'll listen to, because I know Brother Lawrence is on and other people, so I'll take a break and listen to them.
Do we have ladies that may want to comment on what has happened to the family? We have certain sisters on the line, and if you wouldn't mind sharing some things that you've seen and experienced. Hello?
Well, brother, if no sister will step forward. You're always on point. So I give praises to that because your long time history, they're trying to celebrate the Petty Bridge, but you are somebody who's been contributing and making a long-standing contribution, keep trying to nudge us in the right direction. We keep forgetting that this country is it's only in the last 30-something years that we've been practicing this issue of democracy, and it's trying to push it down our throat. And they really don't want to give anybody anything, much less the woman in the family structure. And as you say, Elder, what interests me, one of the things that you were saying was the issue of the church and its role in accepting the standard that women should get less pay than men, bringing back home to the family. It keeps all the families deformed, the same way this country is deformed by not educating young black men and seeing young black men as threats, as enemy, as dangerous, as somebody should not be invested in, which leaves us all. I don't see how they're going to retire. I mean, they talk about the pension fund being bankrupt. It's going to be bankrupt because there's no young people to put anything in or is motivated to put anything in. They're all looking with their hands out. And that's a direct activity because they have not invested in women having what they need so they can at least share the small piece of pie that they bring home to share it up so that these kids can have the tools that they need so they could be invested in the little bit that they could be invested in towards our collective future. So this country is going to hell in a handbasket. It's cutting its own throat. It has 12 million people that are so-called who have come here trying to make their lives better and have found it to be a nightmare because they're stuck in between legality in a country that they came from, that this was originally theirs until it was taken from them unjustly. So 12 million people are putting $5,000 into paying a fee if you want to be punishable, putting $5,000 into a bank account or into the government hand to pay for their health care and pay for their use of health care money to pay for these basic necessities so they can be integrated properly. They will actually put an injection in this country. But this country is so deformed because of its racism. If they were coming from Germany and these other places, it would be no problem. But as long as it's people of color, this country comes out with guns blazing, taking them down. So until we understand that this is what we are fighting, that the family is only a subset in that larger battle just for survival, much less in a capitalist society that is motivated by nonstop having as much as you can without giving anything away. That's the change that we have to really bring about. You know, we get caught up in giving our children diagnoses because they're so poor and they're so trapped and so cornered that they become insane, and they become labeled as insane because they're not able to adapt to the insanity. All right, good time.
They had a question. Someone had sent an answer in a question, rather, and they said, I feel from listening too that we cannot forget that most of our problems are spiritual. We've lost our spirituality within the family because the churches in our community have become very weak.
Agreed. It's a collection.
I was away from the phone for a second, and I heard you asking for the sister's comments, and I'm sorry, but I couldn't get back to the phone soon enough, and I didn't want to interrupt the brother. But when you asked earlier, when you posed the question about what has happened to our families, and then you extended that by asking what are the solutions. And when I look at this, in this society that we live in, the way that it is structured, right now I don't see any solutions. And so when we look at us, if we compare us as we were back in the 1960s to where we are today, you know, back in the 1960s, we may have had 17% of our children growing up in single-parent homes. Right now, we're looking at 50% and more right now growing up. Some people say it's 70% growing up in single-parent homes. So our family structure, but that hasn't just decreased for us. It has also decreased for other races as well. So it's not just a it's our problem as well, because we're concerned about us, but it's becoming a problem for everyone. Everyone is increasing on that. And so I blame that on the way that this society has structured things. Back in the 60s when we were marching and we were protesting, asking for equal rights, and we were demanding equal rights, we were demanding to be integrated in the schools, and I just believe that those are immeasurable things that we were asking for, because how do you really measure equal rights in a society that's based off of racism? How do you know when you really have equality? You know, we never had equality from the beginning because our people were coming out of slavery, so we never had an equal start in this society. We were coming out of slavery. So they weren't going to hand us over our 40 acres and the mule and the reparations and all this stuff. We started from behind. They had a head start in this race. So for us asking for equal rights, I mean, what's an equal right? So I can sit in the classroom with people who really didn't want to teach me, or so that I can eat at a restaurant where people who really didn't want to feed me and eat food that probably wouldn't even be good for me? Is that an equal right? Is that what I'm demanding, to drink out of a water fountain with these people? That's an equal right? Those are the things that we were marching and protesting for? You know, and then we marched and protested for a right to vote. I was just Googling before we made this conference call. I was looking up, there are, I believe, 435 members of the United States Congress, and out of the 435, there are 43 African Americans, and there are 100 in the Senate, and only one African American. So you tell me where the equality is when it comes time to passing a bill or a law. Where's the equality in that? I mean, we're starting out from behind. There's no equality. We've been fighting for this stuff, and it's no equality in it. And so where's the solution? The whole system would have to be restructured. this whole system would have to be torn down and built from scratch. And then you give everybody an equal opportunity as far as money and resources and education and all that other stuff. Otherwise, we're never going to have an equal start and an equal fair share in this society the way that it is structured as it is. And I do agree, I'm going to stop right there, but I do agree that this is spiritual. Because the only thing that's going to get us out of this is a God. Nothing else. Absolutely. Economics is not our strength. Politics is not our strength. And I just touched on those things. Those are not our strengths. So we can't fight these people or we can't war against them because those are their strengths. Those are their strengths. So we can't do anything politically in this country. You know, we can say we can put a little man here in this district and that district, but what can they really do? Or better yet, what have they really done? You know,
absolutely.
We have over 5,000 members.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, that's fine. Someone else sent in a comment. They said, amen, sister. And they said that don't forget also to mention what this music has done in our societies have played a pivotal part in the fall of our young children. As well, of course, we do know that parents, when they are away, they rely on their music.
Absolutely. I have, I teach school, and I hear them all the time. You know, they have these little headphones in. You have to constantly take them out because they move to the rhythm of that, and they function off of that. That's their whole society. Because you don't have parents monitoring and censoring the types of music that they listen to and what's going into their earwaves, and they are just mimicking whatever they want to see. They dress like it. They talk like it, they act like it, because we don't have these family structures anymore, that has become their role model. Mama is at work, daddy not at home, or if he is at home, he's out working all day and all night too. So those are the role models of the children now. They're looking at Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, and you know, that's who they're modeling and mimicking. And think everybody wants to be a rapper. I'm not going to keep going on, but yes.
I will say that change is coming. Despite what they do or what the enemy and the people who are trying to maintain control do, change is coming. And I'm not. And that spiritual change that we are talking about, the spiritual, is that Once we organize in another dimension, the whole notion of that the musical vibration that we need, we know that that's a part of the solution, that we have to have a place where our children can go, a world that they can go into. And with the advent of the so-called internet, where that we could put as much input and as much information as possible about our collective history on this planet, that, you know, that we have always been here for millions and millions of years. And that, you know, that this is we it's our graciousness, because we are gracious while we have give them room for them to breathe and give them a place for them to stand. That if we are simply, you know, in an instant turn our backs and say no more to you bad behaving children, control will be effectively back where it belongs. So it's gonna come back with us or without us, because nature got to correct itself. We're going to breed them out of existence just by intermingling that same, taking a Barack Obama's example. His father was a straight African, direct original African, and his mother a European, and he just has to go back to a black woman, and the seed that comes from them is a black woman, is two young black women on their way again to populate again. So the seeds are it's planted. That is God's hand at his finest. It is we who are not spiritually seeing that's what's going on, and it's out of harmony, out of vibration, like the music, that's causing the problem. So I have no fear that we're going to win. The issue is that some of us want it right now, but, you know, we have to go through that process. Good thanks.
Yes, Sanchez. What Let's move back and talk about a couple of things. First of all, in the effort to gain a foothold so that African Americans and other people, there was a movement on the part of the farm workers in California. There was movement on the part of the Native American population during the 60s. There was a movement on the part of even Caucasian women who, for some strange reason, said that they were being oppressed and they needed to be liberated also. Be that as it may, the quest was for justice. It was not said that, but the whole notion of justice is something that Africans say they want of a system that has no intention of giving them justice. So the solution, if we are spiritual people, our solution is then to build a spiritual solution. So the solution is for us to understand basic genealogy. Who are we? And that question, once answered, comes down to the individual. If an individual's ancestor is African, and someone might say by extension everyone's ancestor is African, I would agree. But I'm talking in today's terms, where we have in this system called the United States of America system, it's called racism. And racism is a system of discrimination, control, extended by one group of people who have the power to a group of people who have no power. That's racism. And if it was turned around, if African people here did, Anglo-European people the same way, it would still be racism. But it's not. It's not us doing it. It's another people doing it to us. And so why don't we say we want justice? Why don't we say that we want our families to be strong? Why don't we say that we want ourselves to be a spiritual people? And then go back and say, what is keeping us from having justice? It certainly isn't the Caucasians, even though they have the legal system and they can switch around the laws at will, and they do. But that's not the justice that we're talking about. We're talking about justice in the sense of being treated as human beings. So let's talk about that. Are you just in your treatment of your own brothers and sisters, your own next-door neighbors? Are you just when you get an opportunity, do you treat people unjustly? Do you say things about people unjustly? Are you undermining your own desire to be free by not being just in your attitudes and words and behavior? Okay, So then you go to the privilege. The privilege is extended. For instance, personally, I will give you a little short story. Is that it used to be house needed to be built, that all of the men in that neighborhood and some outside the neighborhood on a Saturday morning would come and build the foundation and start to build the walls and everything for that house while the women cooked and some women had a hammer or saw too. Okay, but within 2 or 3 weekends, the basic structure of the house where the people could move in would be done. Okay, so that's taking the privilege to be neighborly, the privilege to respond to our people, the privilege to do the thing up on ourselves, not asking somebody for it because they're not going to give up their privilege so that those who claim that they're underprivileged can have some. We have to give ourselves the privilege. And Brother Lawrence has said more than once, hey, you know what? We should have small community co-ops. We should have small buying clubs where we do selective buying. Okay, the last thing on this is how do we empower our own families spiritually? Take the fact that many, many women, some may be listening to this program right now, are not heads of household because they set out to be the head of household. Let's talk about a few men are heads of household, single heads of household I'm talking about. How do we help them? And how do we stop going on the internet at dating sites as opposed to going to our church and do what we used to be do when we wanted people to get together and that wouldn't be drunk and wouldn't be high, and that is have social meetings called socials at our church, serve food, play music, let people get acquainted. We can do this, but when we want to claim our spirituality, we certainly are not going to claim our spirituality by saying what's not being done. What keeps us from being spiritual toward one another is, one, we're often too busy. Two, we are often of a different denomination. Three, we're often of a different religion. And four, we're often so into a form of worship that excludes everybody but us, that we can't see how to reach across the aisle, reach across the street, reach across town, and touch some people who are really, really begging for somebody to come and say, come join us. Come join us.
Brother, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're running out of time.
But yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. I'm
but
sorry.
You are
but
me.
You know, that's
yeah.
that's why I said that.
No, I wanted to say this. So let me say this last thing. The fifth Sunday of every month that has a fifth Sunday in it should be devoted to the community getting together and discussing these subjects. I share.
Absolutely. And so I was watching a documentary. I don't know if you all are familiar with Baloo High School in Washington, D.C.
No.
It's less than 10 miles from the White House. And the high school band is what they were highlighting. And this high school band is an award-winning band. And it sits in a highly, I don't know if you all are familiar with that community over there in D.C., but it's a highly poverty-stricken community. I mean, it's infested with everything, any and everything that's imaginable. Now, when we're talking about, are we being cordial with our neighbors? Are we treating our neighbors? Here, this school is right here with an award-winning band. And this is something that's keeping these kids off of drugs, out of jail, because they're putting their effort into this band. And they right here next to the White House. And they can't even get an air condition in their band room.
Let me cut you off for a second. Just cutting over the thing now. That's exactly what the elder was saying. Until the community itself, if it's a majority black school, nobody has to tell me as a businessman, when I hear that the school needs air conditioning, that I'm not going to go put aside some money and help raise that money for it. If I have something sitting in my garage, I'll take it over and give it to them. If the school needs painting, I'm going to volunteer my services. It is
going
to be volunteer for the European system continue to block us because we continue to want to participate in their means of how they put things together, of how they do things.
Right. And the thing that I was trying to get over to you real quickly is that these kids live in a strictly impoverished area. So every day is a struggle and a fight just for them to keep out of that stuff. They are trying to survive. So when we're talking about pulling our people together, how do you pull them up out of that situation? They have, they have that resource. They have that avenue, but we need to provide them with other avenues, not just that. They ought to have more avenues, and they're sitting right there on the White House, right there.
The solution is exactly what the elder and what I picked up on. But until we decide that we're going to build what we need to build, we don't need anyone to tell us to do it, that we're going to do it. Why is the neighborhood impoverished? Don't you have a house? Don't you live there? Don't you have a garden you could plant some flowers in? You want your neighborhood beautiful, you make it beautiful.
Right.
No one has to tell you to do that.
I know, but these aren't
you
people that you could just tell that. That's,
hey, brother, you can't sell that here in front of my house.
I know, but it's not that type of community. You have to understand this is generations of poverty. You can't just go in there talking like that.
You're
these are generations and generations
you
of poverty.
You decide to be poor, you're going to be poor. I'm no longer going to accept that. You decide to be poor, you're going to accept that you're going to live poor. Poor is an activity. You have to change it.
And the other topic, Doctor, when you were talking about, I know, about spirituality, the same people that's on those dating websites are in church, too. That was my final comment. I'm sorry. I just found that.
Okay. Yes, we have about 5 seconds left. We'll continue part three. But I'd like to say to all of the listeners today, we thank all of you for your participation. We pray and hope that you all have a wonderful week. Please join us next week as we wrap up this conversation on the family. Thank you very much. And take care.
Thank you all.
Until next time.
All right. Same here.
All right. Okay. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.